I'm going to be presenting a toolkit that the Puzin Project, which is a USAID-funded project, has developed and begun to implement over the last 2 years to enable us to collect high-quality, consistent, and comparable data for programs that are working to introduce zinc as a first-line diarrhea treatment for pediatric diarrhea in developing countries. I have no relationships to disclose. I'm going to give a very, very quick overview of the problem of pediatric diarrhea and zinc's role in its treatment. I'll then talk briefly about the Puzin Project and what it aims to do. And then I'm going to spend more time on the development of the toolkit, its various components, and how we've been using it in Nepal, Benin, and Madagascar. And then talk about next steps for this toolkit for zinc programs. Many of you may already be aware, but if not, diarrhea is the second leading cause of death in children under the age of 5, particularly a problem in Southeast Asia and Africa. That translates into approximately 1.3 million deaths per year, but again, it's really hard to get a good handle on the numbers from different data sources in these countries. And when children die as a result of intense diarrhea, it's usually because of the dehydration that accompanies it. So over about a 20-year period beginning in the 1980s, there were a number of clinical and field research studies carried out in a variety of countries, and they demonstrated that when you give a child in a developing country setting who has diarrhea zinc for at least 10 days, preferably 10 to 14 days, that reduces the severity of that episode of diarrhea, and it reduces the duration of the episode. And they also found in numerous countries that, in addition, there was this protective effect, so that not only did the child get protected during that current episode, but they had a reduced risk of a recurrent diarrhea episode in the next 2 to 3 months. So based on a preponderance of evidence, WHO and UNICEF revised their recommendations for treating pediatric diarrhea to include the use of zinc for 10 to 14 days in addition to oral rehydration solution or oral rehydration therapy. So I'm here representing the Puzin Project, which is funded by USAID, and we focus on point-of-use water disinfection as well as zinc treatment for pediatric diarrhea. We focus on several countries. Currently, we've been working in Nepal, Benin, Madagascar, primarily, and we're expanding soon as this project ends and it takes off in a new form. We work in three major areas. The first is on the supply side. When a country has the capacity to locally develop zinc products, we support their ability to do so and to get those products on the market and distributed through public sector channels. When the country does not have that internal capacity, we work with them to support their ability to import zinc products from elsewhere. And then we'll package the zinc with existing ORS packets into a diarrhea treatment kit. And again, help to market those kits and to get them out to the people who need them. We work in caregiver knowledge improvement as well through a variety of mass media and interpersonal communication campaigns targeting caregivers. And we work to improve provider knowledge, going through various types of trainings or sensitization activities with providers, whether they're healthcare providers, doctors at all levels of the system, and pharmacists and drug sellers, people who parents would approach when their child has diarrhea and who would be able to recommend the products. Now, there haven't been actually a lot of programs working on increasing the use of zinc for pediatric diarrhea, just a handful, and very limited data thus far on whether or not those programs are really working. Are they really increasing the proportion of caregivers who know about zinc and who use it, and who use it correctly? So when the Puzin Project began a few years ago, we were sort of surprised to find that we didn't have a lot of good data across the few countries where zinc programs were already active. We found that even within countries where zinc had been promoted for a few years, oftentimes they didn't have good data over time to tell us whether programs were actually having an effect. There was also no standard set of indicators that could be used to monitor and evaluate activities related to zinc. So the Puzin project saw this as an opportunity to develop those indicators and to develop a toolkit that could be used sort of as a template by various country programs and could be adapted as needed, but would overall provide a standard set of comparable indicator data that we could then use to compare programs and compare progress within programs. So the toolkit we developed initially by gathering all of the surveys we could find that already had zinc components, including the DHS and some work that had been done by a Johns Hopkins group in Mali. We reviewed them all, we thought about what our programs would need to know, and we adapted the questions that were already existing to fit our needs, but also to fit more generally the needs that we thought zinc programs, whether run by our project or other projects, would need. We submitted the draft toolkit to the Zinc Task Force, which consists of a number of stakeholders very active in child survival and diarrhea and zinc issues. Got their feedback, revised it, used the toolkit in Nepal in the fall of 2008, and based on that experience, we did another revision because we found some challenges with some of our tools and updated them after that. And then used the toolkit again in Benin in late 2009 and in Madagascar earlier this year. And currently the toolkit's being used in Pakistan. So as we gather all of these different country experiences, we reconvene and we look at what happened, see what needs to be improved, and make modifications. I actually have a copy of the toolkit, a hard copy, on the back table. They may all be gone, and if so, I'm going to provide a link to the website where we have all of these tools available if you're interested. But the main objective, as I've already mentioned, is really to make sure that we've got a standard set of tools that do have the flexibility to be adapted by different programs in different countries, but overall will provide us some level of consistency when it comes to monitoring and evaluating zinc programs. We aim to do household research in countries. We aim to do focus group interviews with various providers and people who who sell the drugs, whether it's pharmacists or small drug shops. And we also have a mystery client survey protocol to use that gives us a better idea of how providers really act when an unidentified person comes in posing as a parent with a child with diarrhea. And it really gives us a better idea than doing a direct interview with a provider. We have in the toolkit three different types of structured questionnaires. One is aimed at caregivers. It's for a big household survey to understand their current treatment practices, their attitudes, their knowledge about zinc and other practices. We have a questionnaire that's aimed at pharmacists and drug sellers, and we have an interview guide for Ministry of Health and health facility staff. We have two sets of focus group discussion guides, one for caregivers in a community and one for community-based distributors of zinc and zinc products. And health agents, they often play an important role in a lot of countries in terms of being the community level supply network for villages or small communities. And then we have the mystery client survey that I mentioned. Because of time, I'm not really going to go into the indicators, but I did want to point out that we did develop a standard set of indicators that is currently being vetted by the Zinc Task Force. It will probably be modified somewhat. But we made sure that our toolkit contained the tools necessary to collect data on these indicators that cover everything from zinc use, period, to whether it's being used correctly for the right amount of time, whether it's being used with ORS and ORT. We ask a lot of questions about caregiver knowledge, and we have a couple of indicators on that, as well as more general knowledge about access to products to gauge whether, even if people know about the product, do they know where to get it and can they access it. We also want to know, when people do use zinc, are they getting it from the private sector or the public sector or both? And that helps us adapt our program approaches to know which how to work with both sectors most effectively to cover the population. And then from the Mystery Client Survey, we have the ability to collect data on really what proportion of providers or drug sellers or pharmacists are recommending zinc as they should be doing, especially after they've been involved in our training activities. So just to give you a feel for the type of information we collect using this toolkit so far, the three countries we've got data on currently are Nepal, Benin, and Madagascar. And this is really the first time we've been able to make these sorts of comparative graphs with multiple countries across them, because the methods have been we've used similar methods to collect similar data, and we feel confident that when we see the data graphed together, that we understand where those data came from and that they are truly comparable, rather than pulling from different types of surveys that ask things differently and take different approaches to their sampling. So of course, our first question of interest is, are people actually using zinc when their child has diarrhea? And in the three countries that we have data on so far, you see quite a range from 4% in Madagascar up to 31% in Benin. Now, the reason for this, we've got a lot of different reasons. These are very different programs in very different settings. And so once we have this type of data, we, of course, go back and think through, why is it so low in Madagascar? Well, turns out there were a lot of political problems in the last couple of years that really hindered the ability of zinc to be supplied appropriately throughout the country. There were also problems and delays getting various interpersonal communication and mass media activities up and running, so that zinc use was quite low in Madagascar, but it wasn't completely unexpected given various constraints the country had faced in the last 2 years. In Nepal and Benin, we had different focus areas, smaller geographic focus areas, much more intense activities, and we were able to really increase zinc use from baselines that were near zero if we use DHS data as our baseline. So these provided some encouraging data that our programs can have an effect when all of the pieces fall together in place at the right time and all of the stars align. A big issue, though, with zinc use is not just that caregivers shouldn't just be giving zinc. They need to be continuing to use ORS or ORT with zinc to replace fluids lost. And they also need to be using zinc for at least 10 days to really have the maximum effect on reducing the severity of the episode and having a protective effect later. So what we found in the three countries is that it was encouraging to see that in all countries, most caregivers who did use zinc reported that they did use it correctly in terms of using it with ORS or ORT. So that was good news. They were getting that message, maybe helped by the fact that in some countries we co-package the zinc product with ORS, so they kind of know that it goes together. But where we're having problems in all the countries that we work in is the use of zinc for at least 10 days. And it's not surprising, again, because when the child's diarrhea episode stops, it's often hard for a caregiver to remember to keep giving this pill daily when they aren't seeing an immediate need to do so. Or there are other reasons why they don't. Sometimes they're saving the extra pills for use in the future. Our research aims to better understand caregivers' motivations for not using or for using zinc correctly, and then we try to tailor our program approaches to increase correct use. So we definitely have work to do in terms of getting people used to the idea of using it for a full 10 days. Another issue that's big in terms of pediatric diarrhea treatment is the inappropriate use of antibiotics and antidiarrheals. Antibiotics should only be used if the child has blood in the stool, and antidiarrheals are virtually never appropriate for a child under the age of 5 with uncomplicated diarrhea. But we do see in our three countries, we still have use of these different products, despite the fact that zinc is really what should be used as the first-line treatment. And there are various reasons, including provider behaviors as well as caregivers demanding the products that they're used to using, such as antibiotics. So this is another area that we're looking into and thinking about how to approach with our various programs in different countries. And finally, we also do want to know, as I mentioned earlier, where do zinc users go to get zinc? private versus public sector, because again, that helps us know which providers to target with which approaches and how to overall improve coverage of the entire population by maximizing both the ability of the public and private sectors to provide and to provide sync appropriately. So in Nepal, for example, we see a very high reliance on the private sector for zinc products versus Benin and Madagascar, where the public sector is really the primary place that caregivers go when their child has diarrhea and when they need treatment. All of the results I just presented are from our household surveys in the different countries, but I did want to also incorporate the qualitative tools that we have in our toolkit and show you a little bit about how we use those. So for example, in Madagascar, we did a variety of qualitative activities. And it was interesting because those qualitative activities really backed up what we saw from the household survey. So for example, when we put groups of caregivers in focus groups and really tried to explore more what they do for pediatric diarrhea treatment, almost universally they said, well, we expect antibiotics. We've always been told to use antibiotics. That's what we're used to getting. You know, and it's going to be some work required to sort of change that mindset and increase their ability to demand and their interest in demanding zinc as the first line instead of going straight to an antibiotic. When we did focus groups with various providers, it was interesting too because even those who had a high level of knowledge of the importance of zinc as a first line treatment, many of them said, well, we just can't get it. You know, we'd like to give it out. We don't have it. The supply chain is broken, or you know, we tried to get it. We never have anything in stock. So what can you do to help us with that? So these really just helped confirm the finding that only 4% of caregivers said they were using zinc in early 2010. And these are key areas that we'll be supporting in the future to try to, you know, improve the supply issue and increase demand, as well as increasing provider knowledge so that they're asking for so they're recommending zinc first. When we went and did mystery client surveys, it was even more revealing, with just 10% of the pharmacists and drug sellers that our mystery clients visited said, well, have you heard of zinc? Here's some zinc you could try, or recommended it in any form or mentioned it at all. Many of these pharmacists and drug sellers had, in fact, been engaged in an initial training activity. So we know they had at least a very basic level of knowledge of the importance of zinc. But clearly, you know, one training is not enough. There's a need for continued visits to them, reinforcement. We also saw that about half were inappropriately recommending antibiotics, even when the mystery client said, no, my child just has diarrhea, no blood in the stools, no fever, nothing. And a third were inappropriately recommending diarrheals. So we're doing work to better understand what kinds of incentives will need to be in place for providers to reduce their prescription of antibiotics and antidiarrheals and increase recommendation of zinc. So the PUZN project is actually wrapping up this month, but we'll be continuing activities over the next few years under the SHOPS project, which is another USAID-funded project. We're going to be using the data that we've collected so far in these three countries to make some modifications as we expand into new countries. A big one will be modifying our messages, our mass media and interpersonal messages, to focus on the importance of using zinc for the full 10 to 14 days. And it seems like the idea that that has a protective effect for future episodes seems to resonate most with caregivers. So we'll be focusing messages more down that line. We will continue to use formative research findings when we go into a new country to set up a program. We'll do a lot of qualitative work, especially to better understand the environment that we're going to be working in and better tailor our approaches to that particular environment. As I just mentioned, we'll explore incentives for providers to increase their appropriate recommendation of zinc. And we'll also be modifying the messages that we send to providers and that we use in our trainings and sensitizations. So based on all of these activities, the toolkit has just been revised and is actually being reviewed right now by the Zinc Task Force this month for some additional modifications, perhaps. We have a household survey underway in Pakistan at the moment using the toolkit, so we're anxiously awaiting those results to see how they compare to the other countries, and also learn any shortcomings of the toolkit that they encountered that we can modify in our next incarnation. We will then, as I just mentioned, also be using all of our lessons learned to tailor our new programs in new countries over the next few years. And I've provided the website link at the bottom of the page here that contains all of the documentation surrounding all of our research activities in the different countries, but also more details about our program activities in these countries. Thanks.
Stand up, please.
The slide on Madagascar, when you were showing that people were having a hard time finding the zinc, also showed that it seemed like there was a very good supply of antidiarrheals and antibiotics. Have you done any analysis of how those items are made available, and can you sort of backpack onto those systems?
I think that's exactly the direction we're heading in, is trying to figure out, you know, how, as you said, it's clear that people have antibiotics and antidiarrheals. They're out there, they're flooded the market, and a big reason that providers tend to recommend them, frankly, is a profit margin that they will not have with our zinc products, which have no margin, you know. So I think that's part of the line of thinking in terms of how do we address the supply issue for zinc, is how do we, what's already working and what can we piggyback on or model our supply issues after?
Yeah. Really great work, thank you. It's very insightful what to do next.
Question, you gotta stand up.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Richard Windsor, George Washington University. I'm interested in whether or not you've done any subsampling of the verbal reports of zinc use and actually checked the urine of the infant.
No, we haven't done anything at that level. Yes, yes. Yeah, just kidding. No, we haven't done anything to that level. We stop at the, you know, household interview. So it is certainly subject to all the biases that you would expect from respondents. But yeah, that would be a great confirmation type of exercise.
I was curious about the dosing of zinc. I know you haven't talked about that, but you mentioned the pill, and then you mentioned piggybacking on the oral rehydration. So, what did you find? What were your findings about the administration of dosing of zinc?
Well, a lot of the studies that I referred to that were done in the 80s, 90s, and earlier this decade focused on different delivery mechanisms for zinc, and currently the standard is a dispersible tablet. That's used. It's a 20 milligram tablet for children over the age of 6 months, and it's half that, 10 milligrams for under the age of 6 months. And parents are, or caregivers are instructed to basically take a spoon with liquid. It might be the ORS, but it doesn't necessarily be. It should be clean water at least, though. And then you put the tablet in it and sort of stir it around, and it just dissolves almost instantly. And then it's basically one little spoonful of a liquid with zinc dispersed in it that's given. That seems to be very, caregivers seem to say most children like it. You know, there have been many formulations to look at different tastes and different smells, and I think they've got it down to what we know kids will accept for the most part. So there's probably going to be continuing work down that line, but that's not something we work closely with at this point. We take the tablets that have already been tested and use those.
Can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. Now, you have a toolkit, and you know a lot about working with the people to encourage them to give this treatment. So it looks like to me you're ready to do an experimental evaluation in like Pakistan. Are you thinking about that?
I'm a quantitative researcher too, and I would love to be able to do more evaluations of that nature, more rigorous evaluations. We run into challenges in terms of needing to balance the amount of time and funding required to often do a rigorous evaluation with the need to get information quickly for a more reasonable cost. So we try to encourage our clients to consider doing that type of evaluation, but it completely depends on the client.
Well, you have a different new client now. You have there is a director of evaluation in USAID, and she may be a little bit bashful about pushing it, but if you push it with her and say this is something important, I mean, it's the first or second killer of the world, and if you could do an experimental evaluation and show that fewer children die with your toolkit, well, that's
mm-hmm.
Okay. Next.
She froze.
Well,
Rose had a question. Rose Schneider, Health Systems Manager.
Okay.
The emphasis of your talk was the tools for measuring. The program information was really interesting, but I came in a little bit late. Did you develop any new tools or any adaptations of tools that, add to the skill mix or monitoring evaluation?
The tools that we developed are specific to zinc and to diarrhea treatment in general. It also includes ORS and ORT and other treatments. But we did base that off of, there are very limited zinc-related and diarrhea-related questions in the DHS surveys. So that was a starting point, but we added quite a bit, quite a level of detail that's not there in the DHS. We also used some surveys that had been done in Mali that were related to a specific smaller zinc pilot program. But again, we wanted to make sure that our questions were in line with DHS questions, since that's going to be a data source for many countries that don't have intense programs like ours. We wanted to make sure they were in line with the work that had been done in Mali, but we also expanded quite a bit on those. And then the qualitative tools that we have in the toolkit were all developed by us, so those are all new.